service.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Disgraceland is brought to you by Disgraceland All Access. Disgraceland All Access membership is your chance to support the show and get ad-free listening, an exclusive scripted episode every month, and exclusive bonus content every week, plus access to an always-on chat with me and your fellow discos. Visit disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. Hey, discos, you can listen to an extended version of this After Party episode by becoming a member of Disgraceland All Access. Just go to disgracelandpod.com/membership for more details and to sign up. Hey guys, welcome to Disgraceland, which is brought to you by Double Elvis. This week, we have a classic episode on John Denver in your Disgraceland feed. And for our All Access members in our Patreon and Apple subscription feeds, we got episodes on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains and Hunter S. Thompson. So be sure to make sure you're all signed up for our All Access content, either on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon, so that you can hear those episodes. And over in our Musicland Stories feed, that's our fiction show for kids and families, we just dropped a brand new episode five from our second season. So be sure to check that out when you're going on a ride with the kids or just hanging out at home, making dinner, whatever you're doing with your children. You're not going to want to miss that. All right, let's get into this bonus episode. Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the after party. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the after party. This is the show after the show, the party after the party, the bridge to get you from one full episode of Disgraceland to the other, the backyard to dig into the dirt. On this episode, we are talking about our classic April Fool's episode on John Denver. The sources we used for this episode, which helped us uncover a crazy story about how the guy who sang Take Me Home, Country Roads may have taken a dark secret to his grave. Not really, but sort of. And of course, your voicemails, texts, DMs, and more. And as always, a whole lot of Rosie. All right, discos, let's get into it. November 22nd, 1963. September 27th, 1964. December 20th, 1991. What do all three of those dates have in common? If you answered the loss of American trust in its institutions, then ding, 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 you are going to win a prize. November 22nd, 1963 was, of course, the date that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. September 27th, 1964 was the date that the Warren Commission's report was made available to the public, wherein a panel of seven public officials declared that the gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, acted entirely alone when he shot President Kennedy. And December 20th, 1991 was, of course, the date that Oliver Stone released his masterpiece, JFK, a film that presents New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison's theory on the assassination that directly refutes the Warren Commission's findings. The murder of the 35th President of the United States was captured on film, famously. And once the horrifying image of his death and of his glamorous wife scrambling over the back of their open-air Lincoln Continental to gather bits of his exploding brains. Once that incredible imagery faded, we were left able to further analyze the assassination in comparison with what our government was presenting as fact, that one gunman was responsible for this awful event and that he was perched above the president when he shot his antiquated single-bolt action rifle, and that even though he was positioned behind the president, his bullet entered the president's body from the front, forcing it, as Jerry Seinfeld said to America repeatedly on February 12, 1992, back into the left. a phrase also that the band Texas Is the Reason would later nail in song on their album Do You Know Who You Are in 1996. And by the time most of us were either born or old enough to be consuming and understanding pop culture, it was a well-known fact that not only was Lee Harvey Oswald not the lone gunman, but that our government lied to us about it with the Warren Report, and that they continue to lie to us about the murder of what could have been our most transformative leader. And to take it even further, it's a likely fact that not only did our government lie to us about this event, they were likely responsible for it. Two of these three things, the government lying about JFK's killer, the government continuing to lie to us about JFK's killer, these are facts. The third thing, the government being responsible for the murder, that as of yet has not been irrefutably proven, but let's be real, even though we don't have video proof of it like we do to dispute the lone gunman theory, the facts get us to about 90% certainty that the CIA worked with the mafia and likely other interested parties to successfully pull off an American coup d'etat. But at this point in my life, this is less interesting to me than the fact that the American government asked us to disbelieve our own eyes. Pay no attention to what you see in that footage of the president being killed. No, believe what we tell you instead. Many of us didn't, of course, see Oliver Stone and pretty much anyone born after the World War II generation, but almost all of us are compliant. What are we going to do? Not trust the government is what we're going to do. They lied to us then. They lied to us about Vietnam and Cambodia afterward and Iran-Contra and weapons of mass destruction. And they lied to us over and over again throughout the last three administrations. And it doesn't matter who our leaders are in the future, our government will continue to lie to us and we will continue to not have faith in our biggest, most powerful institution. That is old news. That's interesting, but it's not super interesting to me. I get it. What is very interesting to me, given my age and my generation, is that there ever was even a time at all when people did trust the government. That is kind of shocking to think of. Think of how cynical that is, by the way. That most people won't believe you if you tell them that between the years after World War II and before the Kennedy assassination, that America existed in relative consensus, and that the majority of Americans trusted their government as much, if not more, than any other institution. How cynical is it that I can't even really imagine that time? I can't even really fathom it. It's hard for me to believe. And we have the JFK assassination to thank for this lack of trust. And personally, this lack of trust is what makes it possible for some dickhead like me to tell you a story that is wildly unbelievable, a story that musician John Denver was the most decorated sniper in American military history, and that he was one of the other gunmen besides Oswald on that day in Dallas in 63, and that you guys believed that craziness, even though at the beginning of the episode, I state right there that the episode you're about to hear is satire, yet still you believed it, still I got you, almost all of you, of course, and that this story, even when stripped of 90% of its context and boiled down into a 75-second reel on Instagram, that it still got people. Don't feel bad. I believe this unbelievable story too when I first heard it. It's almost as if we've all been trained to not believe our own eyes, just like the government asked us to do with the Warren Commission. I'll be back in a flash. Hey, Discos, it's Jake here. Thank you so much for listening to Disgraceland. Your support truly means a lot to me, and it's because of you that my team and I are able to make this show. If you want more Disgraceland, if you want more regular interactions with me and the community of Disgraceland listeners, or if you simply want to listen to the show ad-free, go to disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. For just $5 a month, you can listen to every episode of Disgraceland ad-free. Plus, you'll get one brand new exclusive episode every month. You'll also get weekly unscripted bonus content, special audio collections, and early access to merch and events. There are two ways that you can support the show and become a member at disgracelandpod.com/membership. You can sign up using Patreon and listen to the show ad-free on Apple, Spotify, and most other major podcast platforms. And Patreon members also get access to all the other perks of membership and an always-on chat where I'll be interacting with you and diving deeper into the world of Disgraceland. But
maybe you're currently an Apple Podcast subscription listener and you want to just tap into all the bonus audio content and ad-free listening that we're offering. We're also offering this membership as a premium channel on Apple Podcasts. However you choose to join, all you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Support the show for just $5 a month, $5, or sign up for an annual plan and get 2 months free. Come join me and your fellow discos at Disgraceland All Access by visiting disgracelandpod.com/membership. Hey, discos, jumping in here quickly to tell you about a new giveaway that we put together especially for Disgraceland fans. Listen to this. We teamed up with our friends at Tivoli Audio and D'Angelico Guitar, two legendary brands in audio, to award one of you a prize pack that includes the all-new Tivoli Audio songbook paired with a limited edition D'Angelico electric guitar. The songbook is an incredible vintage-inspired sound system, and you can plug your D'Angelico guitar right into it. It's also got an analog EQ and a 10-hour rechargeable battery so you can take your music and your favorite podcast anywhere. Go to disgracelandcontest.com to see the prize pack and drop your email address to enter for free. Must be a U.S. resident to win. Visit disgracelandcontest.com for full details. That's disgracelandcontest.com. Rock and roll. All right, you might be asking yourself, why did I believe this story? Or you might be sitting there going, oh, we thought you made up this story about John Denver being a decorated sniper and an assassin in the JFK assassination. I'm going to give you a little background here on how this story came to be, what's true, what's not true. The reason this story is actually believable and such a great April Fool's joke is that parts of it are legitimately true. Now, I heard the fact about the part about him being the most decorated sniper in the history of the American military. That part of the story I did not make up. That was an old wives' tale. I don't know where I heard it. I probably heard it at a party in high school or in college and sort of the pre-ubiquity of the internet era. And it was just one of those things that you couldn't disprove in the moment before, you know, cell phones and all that. But it is out there. If you Google John Denver sniper, you will get returns, that are, of course, not correct information. It's just this wild conspiracy theory. It's meant to be a gag. It's not meant to be any sort of harmful thing. And it's a fascinating, fascinating conspiracy story. And it's one that is just, like I said, so unbelievable that it makes you want to kind of believe it. However, the reason that it's so unbelievable is that there are truths to John Denver's background that support this story. His father was in the Air Force. John Denver did grow up an Air Force brat. I believe his father was one of the first, like in the first class of Air Force, when the Air Force was established post-World War II. His father was one of the first airmen, I believe. I believe that to be true. I could be wrong. But like I said, that part of the story is true. So I thought, okay, how do I research John Denver and how do I go into his past and how do I figure out, find other elements, true elements of his story that can help support this incredible narrative that he was an assassin and not just an assassin in Vietnam, but perhaps an assassin in the JFK assassination. Because, again, to the truth of it, there were multiple gunmen who shot at JFK. And there are, you know, E. Howard Hunt, who I mentioned in the story, is rumored to have been one of them, although I don't necessarily believe that. I believe he was there that day, and there may, in fact, be images of him being arrested on that day, but I don't think he was actually one of the gunmen. That was a little bit below his pay grade. So the question of who the gunmen were besides Oswald remains. And there's lots of different theories. There were Corsicans who were flown in by the mafia, but there's also the theory that they were military men, CIA. That's a theory that I believe. I believe it was a mix. So, you know, why not John Denver? Anyways, and there's that part of it is true too from the JFK perspective, right? That there were these multiple snipers. I think you can't look at the evidence of JFK's assassination, like I said earlier in the B block, and walk away thinking that there was only one gunman. So if it's true that there were multiple, it stands to reason, I guess, in some fantastical alternate reality, that John Denver was one of them. Now, there's other pieces. Obviously, I tell the story of John Denver as a musician, and his coming up on the West Coast sort of folk scene, the difference between the folk scene in the West Coast from the folk scene in the East Coast, him coming up with David Crosby and the Byrds, and that beef between John Denver and David Crosby, that actually happened, that was true, that was real. The bit about John Denver chainsawing his bed in half for his wife, that is true as well. That is something that I uncovered in my research of John Denver, and that just flies right in the face of who John Denver was. And if we were doing it just a straight John Denver story, that unbelievable holy shit moment would definitely be part of it. John Denver did actually die in a plane crash, his own plane. He did not allow himself to crash to overcome his guilt and his shame. And to put an end to it and all that, of course, I made up and was part of the April Fool's joke. So, some of the sources here that I used, going to get into these. It's been a long time. This episode came out, it was the second or third year of the show, of the podcast. I can't remember. It came out a couple of years ago. I think it came out in 2020, if memory serves. And I don't really have a lot of strong insight into these research sources here. I simply have the list. Let me see if anything jogs my memory as I read them. John Denver. Okay, yeah. John Denver, The Untold Story of a Vietnam Sniper by Loretta Spilter. This must be the article that I found on the internet that kind of makes the case that he was a Vietnam sniper that is just false. Rocky Mountain High Priced Home, that's where I get the details on John Denver's massive 7,000 square foot Aspen mansion. Had to do a lot of research into how snipers actually work because I don't understand any of that. Now, at the time that this episode came out, there was this time in modern American history where there are all these JFK documents that were set to be released, and Trump looked at, when he was president, he looked at some of them. And he was like, nope, I'm not releasing these. And I was like, I can use that. I can use that as part of the story. Again, using the truth to help tell the fantasy. I did a lot of research on CIA's, their kill squads. There was an article I read called The CIA's Worldwide Kill Squads by Roy Norton. You want to learn more about that Trump and the JFK assassination files. There was an article called Trump Holds Some JFK Assassination Files Back, Sets New 3-Year Deadline. I'm sure we've passed that 3-year deadline since then, and they still haven't been released. I did read a John Denver biography, and I don't have it listed here in my list of sources. And I'm not sure which that was. I'm not sure what that was, which book that was. So the thing that makes this John Denver thing so believable is who John Denver was as a character. He was this very docile, peaceful, just kind of chill guy. He wasn't quite a hippie, but he was he was of the hippie generation, someone that, the hippie's parents could get behind. John Denver too, it's worth mentioning here. We probably, because he died and he didn't get to really maintain his own legacy and cultivate it, I think we've forgotten just how famous and popular he was. He was literally one of a handful, top five most famous entertainers on the planet in the 1970s. It was him, Sinatra, and Elvis. Maybe Barbara Streisand, and I don't know, perhaps Robert Redford in the 70s. I'm trying to think of who would fill that fifth slot, but he was that big and just totally mainstream. TV specials, huge albums, year after year after year, massive singles. And I got to say, I don't really like any of it. I am not a John Denver fan. I know because of his fame and his cultural impact that a lot of you are, and that's cool. But just never spoke to me on any level at all, really. I just thought he was, even as a kid watching him on the Muppets, I didn't think he was particularly interesting. But, you know, him as a sniper in Vietnam, I'm in. Anyways, he was huge. That's the point I'm trying to make. Massive, wildly famous. And that was a point I wanted to make, and I'm not sure I really did. I wanted to get that across. It's hard for people who are younger to truly understand just how popular he was. But his vibe, his image was this real kind of like peaceful, pacifist, environmentalist. And, you know, and it, that's what makes the story so compelling, that he was a sniper. Another interesting sidebar here is that the same rumor exists about Mr. Rogers. He too was rumored to have been a sniper. And the reason that he always wore those long sleeve cardigans supposedly was to hide all his tattoos from the war. But, you know, that never happened. All right. Clearly. Perhaps, again, this is an April Fool's thing. We re-released it this year. It's been a couple years since it first came out. I got a bunch of you new listeners. I'm thankful that you're here. Please forgive me. It's probably also worth mentioning that we've done another April Fool's episode. It's in the archive. I'm not going to mention about what it is, but it's there. And you might stumble upon it in the archive. And if you do, go easy on me. I'm just playing. Not everything has to be super serious and super dark. And I think you know that about me. 617-906-6638 to let me know either on voicemail or text what you thought of the John Denver episode, or really just to catch up on anything. 617-906-6638. I'm here for it. We asked a lot. I thought the Van Halen episode last week prompted a lot of compelling questions in the after party bonus episode that we did on covers, best covers, covers that are better than the originals, best guitar players, all that. Let's check in with some of your answers from last week's question. This one comes from the 732.
Hey Jake, Mark from New Jersey. Just listening to the Van Halen episode. Amazing as usual. The only cover that I think might be better than VH's over Roy is Springsteen's Jersey Girl over Tom Waits. When you forget who sang the original, that makes it a better cover. And that's Bruce. See you, man.
You know, as much as I love Tom Waits, Mark, and I really do, I really love Tom Waits. I think if I could be any musician of all time, it would be Tom Waits. That's a good question. We'll get back to that. But I agree with you. I think Springsteen's version is better. And I think Tom Waits might even tell you that as well. It was certainly better for his bank account, that's for sure. All right, let's check out another voicemail here. This one from the 615 on the same subject.
Hey, Jake, this is Ravi from the 615. I am calling with probably the most obvious best cover song, right? The one that took over the original. It's got to be Hurt. Johnny Cash's cover of Hurt from Trent's version. There's nothing that compares, right? So much to where, you know, Trent's like, that's not my song anymore. That's Johnny's song. Take care, man. See ya.
Yeah, 615, I agree with you. That's a great example. Hurt by Johnny Cash. And you know, we obviously have to credit Johnny Cash for the performance, but we got to credit Rick Rubin for producing that song. And I don't know how much he actually produced it other than suggesting it. But the vulnerability in Johnny Cash's voice at that point in his career, that point of his life, excuse me, when he sings that song is just, it's overwhelming. And it does something different to the composition that just wasn't there when Trent Reznor performed it. It's really fantastic. 617-906-6638 to hit me up, guys, voicemail and text. You know, there was an interesting question that just got prompted there when we were talking about Tom Waits. And I used to be a musician. I don't really count myself as one anymore. I mean, I'll always make music on some level, but I'm not. I don't want to confuse what I do with what other people do and do very, very, very well. So I used to think of like, God, if I could be any musician in the world, who would it be? And Tom Waits was always at the top of my list. I thought he was like this God, he's just so wholly unique and original. And talk about covers, right? And talk about making things your own. Not that Tom Waits was this massive cover artist in any way. He wasn't. But he took Americana. He took country and blues and jazz and early pop music. And he took all of that and blended it into something completely his own. And I remain completely blown away by it. That level of originality. And yet it's still completely compelling and listenable. It's not just, you know, unique to be unique, original to be original. It's something that speaks on a universal level. And I always thought, God, if I could be anyone, it would be Tom Waits. If I could be any musician, that is. Not that I want to be anyone else. I'm pretty happy being me. But the question remains, if you could be any musician, who would it be? 617-906-6638. We'll get back to that in a minute. I want to do a couple texts here as well. Again, on this covers issue, 248 writes in, Thin Lizzy's cover of Whiskey in the Jar is more than a great cover in the vein of Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower, but a complete evolution of the very old folk song made famous by the Dubliners. Rick from the 248, I would have to agree. Great song. Great, great, great song. One of those songs, when I hear it, it's just in my head for about 2 weeks. Can't get it out. 646 writes in, hey, hope all is well with you and your family. Just listening to your podcast on John Denver, you mentioned Santo Traficante in New Orleans. Traficante was from Tampa. Carlos Marcello was in New Orleans. Many historians link Marcello to the assassination of RFK and Dr. King. Go Knicks. Good call, 646. My mistake. You're absolutely right. I mixed up those two gangsters. And I knew this, you know, it's the Southern gangsters, and I messed up the Southern places of origin. I apologize. 818 writes in, Jake, your podcasts are, in a word, cool. Just finished the Van Halen episode and I dug it. I wanted to touch on the Steve McQueen episode. I was listening to the bonus episode of the Van Halen one. Someone mentioned Alain Delon, who would be a great episode. And you said to send you a couple of titles to get you familiar with them. So here you go. Les Samurai, 1967, and Farewell Friend, 1968, also starring Charles Bronson. He was considered the French James Dean, cooler than cool, and is still around today. And I'm out. Mickey. Later, Mickey. Mickey, thanks for the... Thanks for the recommendations. Ask and I shall receive. I appreciate that. All right, Jacqueline from the 602 writes in, hey, the Atari's cover of Don Henley's Boys of Summer is far superior to his original. Jacqueline, I don't know that I agree with that. I really love Boys of Summer. And I know that cover. It's good, but superior, I don't know. I think you just like the Atari's better. Is that who that even is? The Ataris? Why does that sound strange to me? 617-906-6638, guys. All right. Text, voicemail. Let me know which musician in the history of music. You can be any musician at all. Just one. Who is it going to be? 617-906-6638 to let me know. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. All right, we're back, and listen up, you're getting a cool surprise this week. With this one caveat, you got to go sign up for Disgracent All Access to fully partake in the fruits of this surprise. As I mentioned at the top of the show, over in the Disgracent All Access Membership Club, that's our subscription version of the show, we have episodes that you may not have heard yet, episodes on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains and Hunter S. Thompson, with more coming each month. We also have bonus content, like the extended version of this bonus episode every week. This here after party, okay? If you're an all-access member, you get a fuller, larger, extended version of this bonus episode, all right? You also get ad-free listening. Okay, now, here's the surprise. This is unusual. We don't usually do this. We have a trailer that we're going to play for you right now on a specific episode that we're releasing. It's part of our Icon series. We've never created a specific trailer for one episode before. But with this episode, This episode on Kobe Bryant, we took a massive swing, a massive creative swing. We did something completely unlike anything we've done before. We smashed two different worlds together to tell Kobe's story in a really unique and exciting way. But don't worry, if you're not a Disgraceland All Access member, you will hear the full episode next week along with everything else in our wide feed. If you want to get the dirt on what we got cooking, you'll get a little taste of what we have in store. But to hear this trailer, that's unlike any trailer we've ever produced, it's unlike anything we've ever produced, you got to be an All Access member. You got to hear the rest of this bonus episode, okay? Shout out to Matt Bowden, by the way, our head of production, for putting this together. Crushed it. All you guys got to do, like I said, to hear this, go to disgracehandpod.com/membership. And again, for just less than $5 a month, less if you sign up for the annual subscription, that's just $1 a week, by the way, you get to support the show. You also get, like I said, one full exclusive episode each month. Lane Staley, Hunter S. Thompson, Basquiat, Chris Cornell, Waylon Jennings. These are all the exclusive episodes, the weekly bonus content that we're pumping out here in After Party. You're also going to get this Kobe trailer here in this After Party in just a second. And, you know, it's as easy as clicking a button. It's simple. Okay, sign up either via Apple Podcasts or Patreon. They both work the same way. But if you sign up on Patreon, you're going to get me in the chat every week. And they're talking with you guys about everything, music, films, Kobe Bryant, John Denver, JFK, whatever. I'm there. All right. What we're listening to, what we're watching, what we're doing this weekend, all this good stuff. Okay. Check it out. Disgracelandpod.com/membership to become a member of Disgraceland All Access. I will be back in a flash. All right, let's recap, shall we? Number one, there's more After Party to listen to right now, along with an exclusive trailer for next week's brand new episode. All you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up to become an all-access member. But if that ain't your bag, then number two, right now in your feed, a classic episode on John Denver. Number three, coming tomorrow, a rewind episode on Selena. Number four, over in the Badlands feed, we have episodes from the archive on Patty Hearst and Pete Rose. Number five, next week in the Disgraceland feed, a brand new episode on Kobe Bryant. Number six, my number is 617-906-6638. Call me on the telephone or text me at number seven. Remember, no one cares about the music that you love more than you do, and well, that's a disgrace. And now for my moment of bliss, in honor of this week's episode on John Denver, me reading you the Denver, Colorado phone book from 1968, 1 year before John dropped his first solo album. Barbaras, Lewis, 3615 Mead, 455-4590. Barber's Poultry, 466-7338. Barber's Union, 477-3833. Barbie, Louise, 343-3938. Barbage, Clifford, 428-9170. Barbie, Ernest, 233-6879. Barbier, Albert, 781-6996. Barbier, Gerald, Lewis, 366-1115. Barbos, John, 233-6.
Quit talking and start mixing.
Cut it!